Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. This is Doug Llewellyn back with you. Nice to be here today. We are going to explore, once again, the world of being a private security officer. Many of you may have considered this as a job you'd like to do. You may have wondered what it's like to do this kind of work. Well, we have some answers for you. We have somebody who's going to give you some answers. Bobby Hirschberger is back with us. Bobby has been a guest on these programs before. She's based out in Scottsdale, Arizona, and she is a highly experienced private security officer. She's semi-retired at the moment, but in any event, there are a lot of things she wants to do, but she's done this a long time, and she knows all the ins and outs of this kind of business, and it's kind of amazing, really. I mean, if you've ever visited a friend who lived in a gated community, you likely have encountered a private security officer at the gate. And most of us wonder what those people in those little houses are and what do they do all day to keep themselves occupied, to keep from being bored. But you know, while the job can be dull and monotonous, at any moment you can be called into action. At least that's what we understand. Bobby spent 20 years as a private security officer in Arizona's Biltmore Estates, very exclusive estates, among other communities, for a company called Securitas and Trident Security. They're a big firm. Anyway, as she points out, these people are paying her company to pay her to protect them. In other words, to watch out for them and to keep people who are on the do not let in list out and respond to emergencies. Doing this kind of work, especially in a gated community, it's all really about customer service. It's about having relationships with the people you keep safe, and really that's what it comes down to. And she says it's not boring at all. You get to know right down to the minute who's coming in, who's leaving. Most often, you know where they're going. You know their license plates of their vehicles. You know what time they entered down to the second. But for the uneventful moments, every security officer finds their own way to make the job interesting. Today, Bobby has a master's degree in public safety leadership with a subspecialty in criminal justice, and her goal now is to start teaching in a local college this subject that is something she has specialized in reality for 20 years, not just teaching it. She's actually done it. So that's really great. Somebody who's done something makes a better teacher than somebody who never has, as you know. Anyway, let's bring Bobby onto the line with us now. Bobby Hirschberger is her name. She's in Scottsdale, Arizona, where it – Bobby, I know it's still morning out there where you are, but what's it like today? You know, Scottsdale has a reputation of being a very hot place in Arizona. Is it going to be a corker of a day, or is it not so bad?
It'll probably be a corker because we're in the middle of monsoon. And that means we're overcast quite a bit, and that jacks up our humidity, which makes it uncomfortable. Otherwise, our heat is, we kind of do the reverse of the rest of the country in the wintertime. We go from our air-conditioned house to the air-conditioned car to the air-conditioned job, and then we
yep.
reverse it at night.
So how hot do you think it might be today? It's overcast, so that'll help. But what would the temperature typically be on a day like this in Scottsdale?
Okay, with the overcast, it'll drop at about 10 degrees. So it's going to be maybe 101, 102. If it gets up to 109, I'd be surprised.
Wow. But if it wasn't overcast, how hot would it be if the sun was shining brilliantly?
About
114, 15. Oh, my gosh. You know, that sounds so hot. To see people on the East Coast just can't understand that, you know, unless they've been out there. Of course, it's a dry heat. You don't have the humidity, and that's what makes all the difference.
Right, but heat's heat, you know.
You're right. I can't deny that.
Yeah, like I said, we just sit there and go from air conditioner to air conditioner.
Can you imagine living there, you know, 90 years ago, 50 years ago, before air conditioning was you know, perfected and in such wide use?
Well, believe it or not, my first husband and I lived in a house that all they had was what was called evaporative cooling. And that was, you had a huge monster fan in a big box on the side of your house, and it had pads in it that you hooked your hose up to and let water trickle into the pads, and the fan would blow this air into this cooler air into your house, and that's how you quote unquote air conditioned your house.
Yeah, I know that. I've seen houses like that in California. Some of them still have those, by the way.
Right.
At least you still see them on the roof. Anyway, I know what you're talking about. But I was just thinking, you know, to have lived in the Scottsdale area back in the 1800s, when it was 115 degrees out there, and you saw the cowboys with their chaps on and the cowboy boots and all their jackets. I don't know how they did it. I really don't know how they did it. Anyway, we aren't here to talk about the weather in Scottsdale, even though it's warm and it's interesting. We're going to talk about your career as a private security officer and learn a little bit about what that kind of a job is like. There are many people out there who apparently would like to explore that field and think it might be something that would be good for them. Let me ask you, to begin with, how did you get into that field? How did you become a private security officer?
Very mundane. I needed a job, and I saw a job fair for Securitas, and I went down and sat through the presentation, and I was asked to fill out all the necessary forms because they liked the questions and things that I had asked during the question-answer session. And I worked for them off and on for a long time. And then later, I went to Trident Security, and I was at different guard posts with them, too.
Let me ask you about number one, because this is interesting. You are a woman. Are women as readily accepted in this field as men are? And is your age, was your age important at that point? I mean, how old were you at that point when you started in the field?
Let's see, I had just started, I believe, my associate's degree, so I would have been in my 50s.
When
and
you began?
Yeah. I was
no
in
kidding.
My 50s, and it depends on the guard post that you're at. Some of the male supervisors have a problem with women, and some don't. Some would prefer women because, according to these gentlemen, they feel that women security officers tend to be more observant.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I'm impressed by the fact that you said you were in your 50s when you started, right?
Right.
So that they did not consider you too old to do that work then at that point.
No,
as
a matter of fact, I had worked with a gentleman who celebrated his 80th birthday while he was on the job.
How about that? That's interesting to know. But let me ask you this. What are you expected to do you're not expected to actually get in combat or anything like that with people, a private security officer. How do you describe the job? What are your demands to do?
Okay, I was an unarmed security officer, so what I did is when a car there were two lanes. One was for the visitors, one were for the residents, and the residents was in the far lane away from the guardhouse. And whether it was a visitor or the housekeeping staff or the lawn service people, FedEx, UPS, whoever, they came into our gate. And we would take their, we would write FedEx or their name, John Smith. They are going to see Mary Jones. The time in is 10:14. The address is, and you would give not the physical address, but the little area, each place that I worked, it was divided into this little community had 12 houses. This one had 39. That one had whatever. And you would just go to there. Then you would get out and you would hit the gate button to open the gate, and as they were slowly driving through, you took down their license plate number.
Okay.
And when they were leaving, the only time you would put in a leaving time is if they actually stopped in the gate. And then you'd, you'd backtrack to see who that was and fill out the leaving time. But you knew where they were going because, like if a FedEx truck came in and John Smith calls up and says, I'm expecting FedEx today. It's a very important package. Have they been in yet? You could either say yes or they came in at such and such a time. Oh, okay. And, you know, that would take care of that. Or if they had somebody to that they had to that was coming to visit that was on their was not on their admit list, they
right.
would call up and say, Alex is coming in at such and such a time. Just let her in.
Right. Right.
You know? And then there we had at that time we had a Rolodex. Now they have computers. But we had a card on everybody. And some of them it was definitely do not let in bright red letters. You know.
And what would happen? What would happen if somebody wanted to get in and they were on the do not let in list? How would you handle that?
It depended on how nasty they got. If they got real nasty, what we would do is I just go in and pick up the phone and dial 911. We had a police station within half a mile of my guardhouse, and they'd be there. As soon as I called, they were actually out the door on the way. And they
really? Well, that's
within, yeah, maybe
that's
30 seconds.
I was going to ask and you, because you have said from the time you can remember, you have been in the business of protecting people, and you're proud you did your job to the best of your ability. You're not like a police officer. You're not like a tough guy who's going to, you know, get into a fisticuff situation with somebody. You know, you're a lady, and I was wondering how you handled it when situations, you know, got messy. So to speak, you know. I could say other things. But.
Yeah, it depended on the stickiness of the situation. But we did have backup, not only with the police if it got really bad, but we had roving patrol, and we could call patrol. And most of the time, patrol was unarmed, but they had they're the ones that had mace and things like that where we didn't. And
okay.
that was our, if it was just a normal pain in the neck kind of a situation, we called patrol.
Okay. Now, you know, you have said that most of the time you were in gated communities, but you also have worked in construction sites to help keep crime down because thieves would come in the middle of the night to steal stuff like copper piping. That would be like on a midnight to 6 a.m. shift. How did you handle that? You've written before you had to play games with yourself to stay awake.
Right.
But that could have been dangerous too. Suppose you saw thieves coming in.
Generally, it wasn't. They were snatching grabs, and these guys generally. I never saw a woman in a snatch and grab, but they would sit there and come in and try to see, you know, with a construction area, there was more than just one way to get into the place. So I was literally driving around quite a bit, but they would come in and grab the loose copper piping and throw it on a truck and leave. And there were several times I was able to get the license plate and call it into the police. And then sometimes if the house did not have the outer walls on it, but the appliances were in there, they would sit there and steal the appliances. And one of the guards that I worked with, when they did their patrol, they were constantly being robbed because they did it in such a routine that the thieves would actually have gotten their routine down so that they knew, well, patrol is going to be over there at 10 o'clock, so we can go over here in this area at the total other end, and we've got 15 minutes. And mine, yeah. I never did that. You never knew where I was going to be. And I did that for a reason. And I was one of the, there was three of us that we had the least amount of thefts on our shift.
Good for you. Did you always have somebody else with you, or were you very often alone on the job?
Generally, we were alone, unless we were in a gated community that had two entrances with two guard houses. Then they were in their guard house. I was in mine. And to drive it between the posts, it took 7 minutes. And we would, you know, we'd call them the other guard house up and say, Mrs. So-and-so is called to say somebody's coming in, and please let them in. But I don't know which gate. So the one gate would let the other gate know.
How was that job? How would you describe the job? Did you like the work?
Yes, I did. It could be boring, but a lot of times you were busy, especially around dinner time, you know, and then some holidays, it's like the whole bunch, they would go to their other places to celebrate the holidays. And then some years, it was like the whole bunch would have the holidays at where we were working. And sometimes holidays were busy, sometimes they were slow. But generally, we could count on from about 4:30 to about 8 o'clock being real busy because of dinner.
Okay. And typically you would work, what, an 8-hour shift? Would that be right?
Yes, I generally work 2 to 10.
Okay. What about emergencies? Have you ever been involved in, you know, certainly in the gated community situations where there would be somebody, you know, somebody would sick, maybe a suicide attempt or, I don't know, who knows, a murder attempt, anything like that ever occur?
Yes, I was actually in had to a murder suicide. One of the neighbors came up and said, I heard gunshots at such and such, and I was immediately on the phone. The police came, they stopped at my gate, and when they stop at the gate, I get their name, badge number, the police car number, the whole nine yards. And then I directed him over there, and it was a murder-suicide. And another time I had a child who was lost, and she had been let out early, and for some reason nobody made sure that her parents came and got her, and I saw her walking by my guardhouse, and I did call the police because I had no way of knowing what school, whatever, and she was so upset, she couldn't really tell me much except her name. So I called the police. They took her back to the school, and about 45 minutes later, the policeman came back and said, she lives over a mile down Lincoln Road. Lincoln is a very busy street. It's one of the major thoroughfares. We call them secondary streets, whereas the others are the freeways. And it's a very major thoroughfare, and she would have been on that, and she was probably 5, 6.
Wow.
You know, and one nice thing that I did not expect it. I wasn't thinking, oh, I'll get rewarded for this. I actually got written... an article was written in the community's little monthly newspaper, and the parents came down and gave me a beautiful bouquet of roses for taking care of their daughter.
I don't blame them. Good for them. What were the people like generally in those gated communities? I'm sure there are all kinds, but, I mean, did you get to know them?
Oh, yes. Some were... seemed to be standoffish, but it was basically they were preoccupied. And there was one guy who was so nasty that we all learned to recognize his car, and it was, oh, no. Then he got married. And once he got married, he was the sweetest guy. And we had some that would come in and crack jokes. We would have some come in that were just so businesslike, and you learn to know who was who and who you could joke with, who you didn't, you know, and because of the variety of personalities of people, it was interesting. And the only time it was boring is when you had a stretch when nobody came through, no homeowners, nobody called on the phone, housekeepers, groundskeepers, nobody came through. So in those times, that's when you learned how to occupy yourself. And mostly I studied for school because I was going to school.
Yeah, well, as I pointed out, you have a master's degree. I guess nowadays with things like iPads, you know, and your cell phones, it's much easier to keep yourself occupied than it may have been, you know, back then, although it wasn't that long ago, you know, when you were doing
this. Well, what's funny is I have two tablets, I have a smartphone, and they're smarter than I am. I know how to... if somebody calls me on my smartphone, I know to sit there and swipe it and hit the little green phone, and when I'm done, to hit the little red phone, you know, and I can call out, and that's about all I can do on it.
Well, I know. I know what you're talking about.
I'm just not a techie.
Were the people nice, though, in those communities? Would they bring you things at Christmas time, you know, gifts or food, fruitcakes or whatever?
Fruitcakes, not so much. Cookies, Christmas cakes.
Yeah.
This one lady, every year she brought us, it was a Christmas chocolate Yule log.
No, and sounds good.
And it was about 18 inches long. And at Christmas time... And at Thanksgiving, we sat there and did our best not to gain weight.
Well, I hear you. Well, look, you know, I understand. All in all, when you think about it, everything you've done, would you say it's a good job to have? There, if people are listening to you and then they're wondering whether it's a job that would be worth trying to get, you approve? You think it's a good job?
Yes, I do. Now, there are some people that just aren't cut out for it, and they're the ones that are just in it for the money. But if you have somebody that is customer service oriented, and meaning that is trying to help people, and I did something on my own that one of the guards I worked with said, "Why do you do that?" What I would do is go out and find people who would ask where this bank was, where McDonald's was, where this restaurant was, where's the hospital, things like that. I did that on my own because we would have visitors all the time, or we would have new people moving in that had no clue. And I would have it, basically I just memorized and carried it around in my head.
Yeah.
And I could tell them, you know. And then some of the other guard stations that were not technically connected to us would call up and say, "Do you have an address in here? Or do you know where?" They'd need the information too. And they knew that eventually they could call me and I could probably get it for them. And if I didn't know the answer, I just thought, say, "I don't know it right now, but I will have it. I'll have it today, but I'll definitely have it tomorrow.
Well, I know one of the things you're interested in doing now after having done this, and you have your master's degree in public safety and a subchapter in criminal justice, subspecialty. You would like to teach this criminal justice, and you would look forward to doing this and are trying to do this at like one of the local community colleges. Is that right?
Yes. Well, right now in Maricopa County, it's the county I live in, they have a freeze on hiring new teachers. And they said that's going to be about a year, but I do have applications in at the private schools. And I'm just waiting to hear back. I've gotten 3 postcards that said, "We're looking over your information." And that's hopeful for me.
Well, look, you sound like you'd be ideal for that. You'd be great for a private school situation. There are so many situations where private security is needed, and it's helpful, and you've obviously got the background for it, and you've done it long enough, and you've specialized with a master's degree in the field. So
right.
Congratulations to you.
And
sounds like you...
What?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, starting October 3rd, I'm going to be starting my doctorate.
Good for you.
And my
That's
son.
That's very impressive.
He says, "Mom, you're going to be in your mid-70s when you get it." And I said, "Michael, I'm going to be in my mid-70s whether I get it or not, and I want that piece of paper."
Well, listen, that's great to hear. Congratulations to you, Bobby. You go for it, kiddo.
Thank you.
Don't you stop. You go for it indeed. Well, listen, thank you for talking to us. It's kind of interesting to hear from somebody who has had a career like yours and what you've done and what you still want to do, even though you're in the later part of your life, you want to keep working, and I think that's great, and everybody should give you the respect that you deserve. So thanks for your time.
Well,
and that's
thank
it.
You.
We've been chatting with... Okay, Bobby, thank you. We've been chatting with Bobby Hirschberger. She's based in Scottsdale, Arizona, and she has a lengthy career as a security officer, and she thinks it's a good career to look forward to. Thanks, Bobby. It's been great having you with us.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Well, that's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time right here on CUTV News Radio. Till then, take care and do come back. Bye for now.